Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Robbie Lula.
He talks basketball on 1620 The Zone. His name's Robbie Lula, and he's on the phone. Robbie Lula. Robbie Lula. He is here to talk Creighton basketball.
Just a tweet from Elon, your boy Elon.
Done, not my boy.
Gross.
Jack off the board. Ho! Elon. Context, please. Hello, Robbie.
Hey, Robbie.
What's going on, fellas?
The sun finally showed up.
Yeah!
Finally. It's about dang time. How much are you enjoying the Big Ten baseball tournament? I know you're a big Ten baseball fan.
Yeah, I watched 0% of that. Oh. Actually, wait, that's not true. I watched a little bit of Penn State Iowa this morning. It was not great.
It seems like it's been pretty bad. Yeah.
At least the stadium is very full.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, huge. Penn State really showed up today. Mm-hmm. A lot of blue in that stadium today.
Big draw.
Well, how much in 1 year can Creighton help Baylor Shireman improve his defense?
I mean, his defense, I don't know. I think they can help him improve his stock overall quite a bit, because I think a lot of the questions about Baylor are the same as the questions that you have about a lot of, mid or low major conference guys. It's just level of competition, right? He's bigger than pretty much all the wings or guards that he plays in the Summit League. He can shoot over and see over a lot of players in that league. So doing it against the length and athleticism of the Big East gives NBA scouts a much better point of reference for how his skills translate to the NBA. Now, that'll be true on the defensive end as well. I think the big thing that Creighton will help him with is, and to be fair, I didn't watch enough South Dakota State this year to know, his specific weak points in terms of team defense and things like that. But that's one thing that Creighton does really, really well that I think no matter how well South Dakota State did it, that he'll be able to improve positioning, defensive basketball IQ, things like that, where things that aren't necessarily physical. But that being said, we have seen players with their athleticism at Creighton. I don't know how much he can do in just one offseason. But players get a little bit more bouncy. Players get a little bit more athletic looking with that, with their training staff over there now. So it's not out of the question that some of his physicality might improve as well. But I think the non-physical parts of defense that Creighton teaches so well, especially over the last few years, are going to help him out regardless of where he ends up.
Robbie, as it sits today, May the 26th, 2022 of our year, Lord and Savior. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. What's the biggest unknown that you have with Creighton Hoops right now is that the roster seems to be finalized.
I mean, the biggest question is, are they going to do like a group rate for the Final Four? Or is it going to be some kind of like a private situation? The biggest question marks are the development of the sophomores, the guys that are going to be sophomores, right? Does Arthur Kaluma take that next step? Does Trey Alexander take that next step? How does Ryan Nemhard look coming off of that, coming off of the injury? To me, those are the big questions, right? You're making some assumptions because of the way Creighton's developed in years past, the way those guys were looking at the end of the season, the way Creighton finished their season, and I think they're fine assumptions to make. But they are still assumptions at this point until we see them on the floor as sophomores and seeing what they improved in those games, in their games over the course of the offseason. those are the questions, right? Just how much have they improved? What have they added to their games? Things like that. But honestly, with Baylor Shireman into the mix, it actually takes a lot of pressure off of some of those guys to have made that second-year leap that we expect out of them. If they do make that leap with the addition of Baylor Shireman, that's where we're talking about that, you know, top four. I think I've seen them top two in a couple different rankings in the preseason so far. If you get the leaps you're expecting and you have Baylor Shireman in the mix, that's where you're talking about that upper ceiling of where people have them. So those are the questions. They're great questions to have in terms of, you know, they have a roster they're really comfortable with, and a lot of other teams have a lot more questions that are harder to answer. So if you're Creighton, those are the types of questions you're okay with.
It's one of those things, Ravi, and obviously the Jays were able to have a great season last year despite shooting their worst three-point percentage under Greg McDermott, because they were under 31% from the field. They lose their top two three-point shooters by both makes and percentage in Hawkins and O'Connell. Now you replace Shireman, who's a 40-plus three-point percent or three-point shooter, into the mix. But would the question be if the other guys – because we've always expected, hey, Kaluma shoots it better than he has shown. We heard the coaches say all last year he shoots it really well in practice. We expect Trey Alexander to improve from 28%. We expect Nembhard to improve from 31%. But if those guys don't make the big leap, is that kind of one of the areas where Creighton might fall short, is that they still don't improve their three-point shooting enough, even with the addition of Shireman?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly one of the areas of development that you want to see the most out of those three guys. Don't forget, though, you still have Mason Miller coming off of a redshirt who can space the floor, and I'm told probably would have been the best shooter on the team last year had he been playing. So you have him as an option to help spread the floor. You have Farabello, who came in as well, who could potentially, I believe his numbers, even though not a lot of volume, he does shoot it pretty well for his career. So you have options that you can throw out there as guys that can spread the floor. Obviously, your Kalumas, your Alexanders, your Nembhards are going to play the majority of the minutes. So their development as shooters matters the most. But listen, it's not impossible, but I'd be shocked if they went 0-for-3 on them, all three of them developing at least above average to serviceable three-point jump shots. We saw it at times during the season last year. And if you want to go look back at some of the shooting stats for guys like Tyshawn Alexander and Mitch Ballock, they didn't shoot it well as freshmen either. You know, not shooting it well as a freshman, and I believe they were both around 30% as freshmen. You can double-check that for me, but I'm pretty sure that's accurate. About the same numbers that we saw from guys like Trey Alexander and Arthur Kluma and Ryan Nembhard. We saw flashes of them being able to shoot the ball, so I'm not overly concerned about it, but even if it doesn't come along as far as you'd like, you do have other options to kind of give you a more floor-spaced lineup.
Mitch Ballock, freshman year, 32.6%. Tyshawn was 33%.
So, yeah, I mean, they're both, what, career 40% shooters, I think, from Creighton, basically. So, obviously, their freshman year, you wouldn't have thought they would turn out to be the shooters that they were either, unless you were pretty familiar with their high school tape.
Yeah, so, and Tyshawn ended up almost just a touch under 40% his senior year. Just looking at his senior year, he was 39.9% his senior year. And Mitch, his senior year... clicking through all of Rob's stats here.
He was Mitch, probably less, because remember, wasn't the thing with him like, oh, he's not shooting as well?
Yeah, Mitch's senior year was only, I'm saying only, 38.6%.
Yeah.
But I think the year before he was north of 40.
Robbie, how like the schedule, John and I were kind of
just... Yeah, Mitch was 43% his second to last year.
We were running through, not so much, obviously we don't know when the games are going to fall, but we were just looking at, you know, the tournament that they're going to play in before, you know, conference play and some of the other non-conference games. I wonder, like, how vital you think that's going to be to the team maybe figuring out who they can ultimately be, given that some of those teams are going to be pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot less vital than the schedule they played this year, honestly. this past year, because the team had a lot to figure out replacing, you know, basically their top seven players from last year or from 2 years ago. So last year's non-conference schedule and being fairly forgiving, I thought was really, really important so that they could build a certain amount of confidence and get into Big East conference season, you know, with their heads above water still, which obviously they did and more. This year, I think it's important that they test themselves and that, you know, they've put together a schedule of a team that thinks they're going to be really good. You know, that's what it looks like to me. And I don't think if you take a couple lumps in some of these early season games against good opponents, I don't think it damages the confidence of a team that has been to the NCAA tournament, took the national champion last year down to the final minute, and it was a one-point game, minute and a half, I think it was a one-point game against Kansas. You know, Baylor Shireman's been in the NCAA tournament. I don't think these guys are lacking for confidence coming into this year. So I'm not nearly as concerned about the results of the non-conference. Obviously, you want to have a successful non-conference. You want to get some wins against marquee opponents. But I think the impact on it for the rest of the season is not as important as it was last year.
Ravi, turning to the other version of basketball, I guess there's many versions of basketball. Turning to the higher version of basketball, the NBA, it seems...
Oh, because they smoke a lot of weed?
Oh, would you stop it,
you
John?
You said the higher version.
Would you stop it? Ravi, it seems like we are on the doorstep...
Yeah, John, college kids don't smoke anything.
Yeah, never in college.
No,
yeah,
not at all.
They care about the name on the front of their jersey, not the weed on their back. But Ravi, you are a noted Warriors fan, and it seems like we are on the precipice of your beloved Warriors versus our hated Boston Celtics. How are we feeling given that, like, all of our takes, you and my takes together about Tatum, like, it could all come together starting a week from today in the NBA Finals?
Well, so a couple things. I don't hate the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, okay. I do. I'll say that out front. I hate the Celtics.
I don't.
Down with
I don't
Boston.
I don't have anything against them at all. I really don't. My thing with Jason Tatum is that when he made the conference final run, I think without Kyrie Irving back in 2018, I believe is the right season, when that team kind of overachieved, quote unquote, people started putting him in a category of he's a guy that can be your number one on an NBA title team. And at the time, that just simply was not the case. And it hasn't been the case. That was 4 years ago now. It hasn't been the case over the last few years. This team has been wildly disappointing for large sections of time, especially last year, and then about the first half of this year as well. He's still a guy that is entering probably his real prime at this point. So could he turn into a guy that's capable of that? Absolutely. But he wasn't 4 years ago when he got anointed and put into that type of group. That's been my biggest beef with Jason Tatum. And you know, he's got an interesting supporting cast with Jaylen Brown, who sometimes looks awesome and sometimes looks like he doesn't have some basic basketball skills, so that's really confusing. Honestly, though, my biggest concern if I'm Boston is that Marcus Smart's going to be back and healthy, because when he's on the floor, he doesn't always realize that Jason Tatum is the guy that needs to take the shots at the end of games or the end of shot clocks, the end of quarters, whatever. And he kind of has, I don't know if you want to put, you know, J.R. Smith syndrome. It reminds me of when Russell Westbrook would take shots on Kevin Durant's team in OKC, right? Like, hey, Russ, you're not the best guy here, except for Marcus is even significantly less talented than Russ. So that's going to be Boston's biggest issue. Can Tatum step up and become that guy on a championship team? I mean, they have to win the championship first, obviously. I think the Warriors are better than Boston at this point. They have more options and more guys that I like in terms of winning an NBA championship. But my argument against Tatum was never, he'll never win a championship or anything like that. It's that he's not the guy you're saying he is right now. And that's been true for the last 4 years that people have been saying it.
Ravi Lula. who joins us on Thursdays, usually earlier in the show, but he had to move some things around today. So he's in the happy hour today.
Mm-hmm.
I was a busy boy today.
Well, that, and he wanted to make sure that he was on in between games 2 and 3 of the Big Ten tournament. He didn't want to miss a pitch.
Oh.
Yeah, I had to shoot that gap real carefully to make sure I didn't miss any of the high-flying, high-powered action of the Big Ten baseball tournament.
Exactly.
Ravi, have a great weekend.
You too, boys.
Hi, Robbie.
Robbie Lula on 1620 The Zone.
How about this comment on the YouTube page from Matthew that says, my dog stepped on a bee.
Yikes.
Sorry about your dog.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very good.
How does he know the dog stepped on a bee? Unless the remnants of the bee on the paw.
Yeah, maybe he saw it happening. Maybe he saw the dog stepping on the bee. I don't know.
Hope the dog's okay.
I hope the dog's okay too, man. Team
really
dogs.
Don't, really don't care about the bee.
Nah.
Bees are cool.
Yeah.
Have you not seen Bee Movie, John? Because that's what happens bees.
I've seen Bee Movie, and I just don't give a damn.
Wow.
I don't care. Been stung by a bee once. Not fun.
John Bishop here for killing bees.
I ain't never been stung by a dog.
That's fair.
Hard to argue with that.
Yeah. We're down to the last day of the Great Grill and Griddle giveaway. We're playing a game of the day. Today we played Chattel or Sipple.
Classic.
Gave away a griddle. Tomorrow we give away a grill.
And what are we playing tomorrow, John?
The John Hates Texting Game.
Awesome.
The only winners can come from those of you who are afraid to use the telephone for which it was designed. And that's to talk. We're going to reward all of you texters out there.
So everybody, you were going to reward society.
No, not everyone texts. My dad doesn't text.
What?
No. Dad still has an old flip phone, man.
Dave can text on flip phones.
He didn't text.
Text him. Text him during the break and say, Dad, I love you.
No, he's not going to text.
He won't say I love you back.
He won't even know what it is.
You give him more credit, John.
He's not a billion years old. He knows what a text message
is. He raised children. He's been on the earth for
text
a hot minute.
Dad, I love
this.
You.
See, you're saying this is an insult. He takes pride in not knowing any of that crap.
He knows what a text message is, though.
He knows.
If you got a text from your phone,
he knows he doesn't like it.
I want you to text your dad.
I'm not texting him. I'm not going to text him.
Everybody out there, if your dad's still around and you do love your dad, text your dad, I love you, Dad, and see what they say back.
Or maybe pick up the damn phone, dial the number if you still remember it, and call him and tell him yourself.
I don't remember I don't remember my dad's phone number, but I do have
his. Because it means a lot more when they hear it from you instead of reading it on some electronic message.
What if I'm on the radio and I can't call? I just have to text
him. Well, then wait till after you're done with your show.
Dad, I love you. Unlike John, who doesn't love his dad, apparently. Can't even text
Josh
his dad.
Josh loves his dad, who had sex with his mom.
Okay.
After Tyrese Knox fumbled at the 2-yard line.
So, yeah, we have the fumble
baby
out.
Josh.
We have the grill out. And griddles to give away. That's how this all started, because of the texting game.
Anyway, be listening tomorrow for the game of the day, which is the John Hates Texting Game, and your chance to win a personal-sized grill from 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.